The Mishnah, further, on Daf Pei, states that the names of the husband or wife were changed in the get. The get is pasul, and if she remarries on the basis of such a get, her children are mamzerim. Taisvis there explains that the Mishnah is not only referring to a case where the wrong name was written in a get, but is referring even to a case where the cipher failed to include all of the husband's names. The Pnei Yeshua, however, notes that our Mishnah indicates that a get is technically kosher even without the inclusion of all secondary names. The Mishnah implies that the get is necessary. It's necessary to include all the names of the get. That's only to preclude a potential problem of laz, but basically it's kosher, as it is even if this was done b'di'evan, the Gemara. If they don't use the proper name as known in that area, the get is not chal. The next Mishnah. An almana who comes to collect her ksuba from her husband's property, she cannot collect from the yosaimim unless she swears that she never collected her money during the lifetime of her husband. She can't double dip if she already got before. But the chachamim made a takana not to swear, and the almanas lost out. Came Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin and made a takana not to make a neder, but just to discuss the issues with the yosaimim and then to collect. Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin was also misakin that Edim must sign gittin because of tikkun ha'olam. Finally, Hillel was misakin, a prusbel for tikkun ha'olam, so as not to discourage people from lending money before Shemitah, since now Bezdin will be able to collect, even though it's Shemitah. Gemara. What's the chiddush here of almana? Not only must an almana swear, any bal chayv wanting to collect money from yosaimim must swear. So why do we have to talk about almana? It's automatic. The chiddush of almana is that I would think that mishum chinah hikilu be'rabanim. So she can remarry, and she can remain having chayn to other men. So in order that she should be able to remarry, they wouldn't force her to swear, because if she swears, it won't look good, and people won't want to get involved with her. Kamash Balan, even she must swear. The Chachamim made a takana not to let an almana make a shvua to the yosaimim, because shvuas can create a lot of problems if they're not fulfilled, as we learned from the story of the woman with the flower brought down here in the Gemara. Rabbi Yishmael said, this halacha of not swearing is only a shvua bebezdin, but she can't swear if she does it outside of bezdin. In the time of Rav, women whose husbands died could never collect a ksuba, since they weren't allowed to swear because people treated the darim like a joke, so they were meaningless and couldn't be believed. In fact, according to Rav, she couldn't even claim the right to mezainis from her dead husband's yosaimim. This is since the right to mezainis is only due to kvaid bala. But once she asked for a divorce, she is signaling that she doesn't need his help anymore. A woman can only collect money and swear over her dead husband if she didn't remarry. But once she remarried, it's too late. If a neder was made in public, there's a machlekes if this neder can have a hafara and can be nullified, or if it can't. When one comes to a chacham to be made for a neder, does one have to specify the reasons he originally made the neder or not? Rav Nachman says he does not. Rav Papa says he does. Since they may have originally made the neder to prevent himself from doing an avera. For example, if a kain marries a grusha, he can't do avoida in the Beis HaMikdash until he makes a neder that he'll divorce her. We tell him to make the neder al das rabim. So to change this neder, you'll need to have the das of everyone who heard it in the first place. Otherwise it cannot be changed. Daf Lamed Vav. There was a rabbi of children who they made a neder al das rabim, not to let him teach anymore, because he used to hit the children in the classroom. But when they couldn't find a replacement Rebbe who was as good as him, they were able to be Mater Neder, even Al Das Rabbim, since Chinuch of children is considered a mitzvah. The Gemara asks, why do we say signatures on a get was done due to Tikkun Olam? It's a halacha midaraisa. It's not just Tikkun Olam, we have to have signatures on a get. The Gemara answers, we need it for Reb Elazar, who holds Eide Mesira Karsi. So according to him, you wouldn't need Eide Chasima. Kamash Milan, you still need Eide Chasima, Mishum Tikkun Ha'olam. What does this mean? If Eide Mesira died, the Chasima can then testify. That's what Mishum Tikkun Ha'olam means. It's a Machlekes Rishayim if this Takana Mishum Tikkun Ha'olam is an Ikuf, if you don't have it, or not. According to the Rajba, it was only an Eitz HaTaiva. Therefore, if you don't have it, it's Nishkeferlach. But according to the Riv, it's a real Takana, so only B'diavid without it. But Lachatchila, we have to have it. If the Malva writes a Prusbel, this chayiv owned to him is eino mishamet. We know that in general, when Shemitah arrives, all chayivs owed are released, and the leiva does not have to pay it back. We know that there are two kinds of Shemitah. This is Shemitah's ksafim that we just mentioned, that any money that's owed to a malva, once Shemitah comes, it does not have to be paid back. There's also halacha of Shemitah's karka. We know that vegetables and fruits that grow in the Shemitah year are not allowed to be eaten. This is, as we know, this year, Tafshin Nun Dalet, is the year in Eretz Yisrael where Shemitah's karka applies. But because of this Takana of Prusbel, before we had a Takana of Prusbel, there was a problem, because people were reluctant to lend money just before the Shviyas year, because they knew that they would lose their money. So poor people had trouble borrowing money, but right before a Shemitah year. Hillel HaZaken was misakin a creative device called a Prusbel, which allowed a Malva to collect the Chayv, even in Shemitah, since the Prusbel transfers the Od Chayiv to Bezdin, and Bezdin is Pater from Shvius. It has this Nusach written on the Shnar Prusbel. We also point out that Bizman Hazah, there is no din of Shemitah's Ksafim Midaraisa. The Rabbanan have the right to be Eiker or Dover Minatayra, if it's a Shev V'Altasa, it's something passive, which you don't have to actually do a Maisa. But they can't be Eiker something that is Kumvaseh. And the Chachamim's ability to do this is learned from Yerusha. Just like a father can decide the Yerusha of his sons, so too the Chachamim can decide for the nation. When Hillel HaZaken was Mesakin Prusbel, just for his generation, or was he Mesakin it for all generations? The Gemara answers, the truth is that even if just was just Mesakin for his generation, it would still carry anyway later to later generations, since Ein Bezdin Yachal Levatel Divrei Bezdin Chavera Ela Imkein Gadol Heimeno B'Chachma U'B'Minyan. Once Bezdin, as we know, this is the basis for many of the halachas we have today, since an original Bezdin many years ago, who was a great Bezdin, declared this particular takana, and today we're a lot smaller than the previous, but they didn't, we can't be mevatel those gzeras. Shmuel didn't really like the notion of Prusbel, and said, if I could, I would have been mevatel it. The Jews at Har Sinai, the Gemara says, were like a kala under the chuppah, and when they were chaita with the Egel Hazav, they were like a kala who was mezana, but Hashem still loves Klal Yisrael anyways. And finally, people who are insulted, but don't insult back, people who do mitzvahs out of ahava, and people who are happy with their yisurim, they will get rewarded in the time of Mashiach. Taf Lamed Zayin. What does the word prusbel mean? It means perus buli uvuti, a takana for the benefit of the rich and the poor. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Yisaimim do not need a prusbel to release chayvis in Shvius, since their entire estate is managed by Bezdin, as Bezdin is like parents of Yisaimim. A malva cannot write a prusbel to a leiva unless the leiva owns some karka. If the leiva doesn't own karka, the malva can give him a tiny little piece, even a piece of grass, to be mekayim this din of owning land. If Reuven owns Shimon money and Shimon owes Levi money, Reuven can pay back to Levi directly. As we know, v'nasan l'asher asham loy. Just like you can do this by a chayv, you can do it by a prusbel. Beis Shammai holds that shtar ha'aymid ligvais kegavoy dami. So shmita is not mishamet, since it was like money that was collected already. Beis Hillel holds, therefore, the nafkamina is when there's a suffix, who the money belongs to. For example, if a woman was a saita and her husband died, before she had a chance to drink the mayim hama'arim. So the question is, who is the muchsak now on the money, the woman or the yarshim? If you say, then her ksuba is like collected already. She's the muchsak, and the burden of proof is on the yarshim to prove whether or not she was mezana. Hamaitzi mechaber olav haraya. Masha'enkin, if you hold shtar ha'aymeg ligvais lav kagavi dami, then the yarshim are the muchsakim, so the burden is on her to prove whether she's innocent or guilty or not, ha'moitzi mechaver alav haraya, and therefore if she can't prove it, the yarshim get to keep the money. Prusbel works because the chayv is considered in the reshus of Bezdin, who can declare what they want to on anybody's property. As we know, the klal is hefker Bezdin, hefker. So chayv is owned to them are not mishame. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Nachman says, a person is believed to say, there was a prusbel in my hands, but I lost it. So now I can collect the chayiv after Shvius. This is because once the Chachamim were masakin a prusbel, why would someone lend money without a prusbel? It's like if you had kashera meat in your house, why would you want to eat treifa meat and be over on an isser if you can do it without being over on an isser? In fact, the Gemara relates a case where a rav asked the malva, are you sure you didn't write a prusbel? It's a rare case where we're psach picha le'ilem. We open up his mouth of a person who cannot talk. Normally, we don't put words into a person's mouth, but this is a special case where we try to attempt to make sure that he says the right thing. Mishnah. It's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved Kanani so he can become free. And the Gemara brings down Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Just like it's a mitzvah to redeem a regular person, i.e. Pidyon Shvuyim, in case he gets captured, it's a mitzvah to redeem an Eved so he'll be free to do mitzvahs. And one thing, though, with one caveat. But even if an Eved was redeemed as a Ben Charen, it's possible that we make sure that he stays as an Eved, because of a fear that whenever an Eved decides he doesn't like his master, he'll get captured, and then he'll be redeemed as a Ben Chayron. So we have to be very careful of that. Mapil atzmei legaisis. He'll put himself in a situation that he gets captured, and then he'll be redeemed as a Ben Chayron. So for that, we have to be very wary of something like that. Daf Lamed Ches. Not only can a Jew be kaina an Eved Kanani, but a guy can also be kaina another guy to be an Eved. An Eved who ran away from jail gets to go out free, and we even force his master to write a get shichra, and then he becomes a Jew. The Gemara says, wherever Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion is mentioned in a Mishnah, the halacha is like him, except for three cases in Shas, one of which is Arev in Baba Basra, Tzidan and Gittin in the case in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, any person who is Meshachrer and Eved is Eiver an Asay, as the Pasuk says, Li'olam Bahem Ta'avaydu, Ba'ikra Chafhei. Unless it's for the sake of doing a mitzvah, you shouldn't just let him go free. According to Rabbi Yishmael, this pasuk of holding on to an eved is only a reshus, but not a chayv. Rabbi Akiva says it's a chayv to have the eved work for you forever. The Gemara says for three types of offenses, a Bala Bayis loses his possessions and becomes poor. Number one, if he frees his slaves. Number two, if he inspects his fields on Shabbos. And number three, if they have their main meals on Shabbos afternoon while the shiurim are going on in shul. If a person says, let my eved go to Hekdesh, this eved now has the ability to go free. The reason for this is because when a person makes something Hekdesh, it can either be Kedushas Haguf, i.e. something which is fit for a Mizbeach, it becomes Kaddish, and therefore you bring it to the Mizbeach as a carbon, or it can become Kedushas Damim. If it's something that's not fit to be put on the Mizbeach, the value of it becomes Kaddish. So when you're Makdish an Eved, which is really not possible, so you have to interpret his words to mean that he wants the Eved to be holy, i.e. meaning to say you want him to become Jewish. Once he becomes Jewish, he therefore becomes free. According to Rav Meir, Ein Adam Motzi Dvarav Levatala, a person does not just stam say words, so if he says something unclear, you have to interpret it. We learn this from Erchin. If someone said to his watchman, I gave you 10 vines to watch, and the watchman said, you only gave me 5, Rav Meir says, the Shemer must swear because he's a Maida B'miktsas. Once he admits part of it, he has to swear on everything. Rav Meir held the halacha of Maida B'miktsas, however, applies even to Karka, as we have in the case here with vines. However, according to the Chachamim, there is no halacha to swear for a Maida B'miktsas when you're dealing with karka, when you're dealing with land. Otherwise, in other cases, he has to swear, but not for land. The eved of a ger is like his wife. Just like his wife can be divorced without a get, and if he dies, she becomes free. So too, if he dies, the eved goes free. If an eved becomes hefker, he's in big trouble, because a Jew can't marry unless he has a shtar shichra. And a shivcha, he can't marry, because he's not a full eved. So therefore, he's sort of stuck in the middle. He can't marry either of them. It's a machlokes that we hold like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds an eved cannot free himself by paying his freedom by himself. We don't hold like Reb Shimon, so if an eved pays for his freedom, he's free and he can marry a regular bas cherin. Daf mem. Reb Yeshua ben Levi says if an eved puts on tefillin in front of his master, and his master lets him put them on, he gets to go free. Since an eved is pater in a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, just like a woman is. So if his master allowed him to do it, the master must have freed him before. But that's only if the owner puts the tefillin on the eved for him. Taisvus here in Divrei HaMaschil Kishe Rabbi says that if an eved or a woman makes a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, we know that a woman or an eved are both potter from these mitzvahs, but let's say a woman wants to make a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, it's not a bracha levatala, since although they're potter from a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, they can still make the bracha if they want to do the mitzvah. Interesting to point out, we know that this whole question of whether a woman is allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shazman grama is a machlekes, mechaber, and ramah in many places. If a woman is allowed to make this bracha or not. The Mechaber says that the woman is not allowed to, but the Rama says they can. The Rama holds like Taisus, and the Mechaber holds like the Rambam, who forbids a woman from making a bracha on a mitzvah seishas man grama. Big nafkamina, for example, would be, for example, if a woman wants to say halil on Rosh Chodesh, does she make the bracha or not? We generally, by the Ashkenazim, passing like the Rama, therefore she is allowed to make this bracha. This, or Shaifa, for example, or other things that are mitzvah seishas man grama. If a man before he dies says, do not force my shivcha to work, the Yarshim must oblige on this request because of mitzvahs l'kayim divrei hames. If a master made an eved into hefker, there's no takana for that eved, and he can't marry a Jew or a shivcha, as we said before, they're right in between. If a man says, I made my eved into a ben charen, and the eved says, he didn't make me into a ben charen. So we assume that the freedom was done via a third party, and this third party is zeicha for the eved, since we say, zachin lo'adam shalei b'fanuf. Therefore, the Eved gets to go free. But if the master says, I gave him an actual shtar shichra, and the Eved says, I never got the shtar, we believe the Eved, since we say, Haidas baldin kenei edim dami, and he doesn't go free. Taisus asks, why don't we say the same thing for the giver? Let's believe the person who gave the shtar, because of Haidas baldin kenei edim dami. Taisus answers, it's more likely that the receiver is correct than the giver is correct in this kind of a case. The Mishnah. An Eved who was supposed to act as a mashkin for a loan, and the master then went and freed him, the Eved doesn't owe anything to person number two. But because of Tikkun Olam, the first owner must free him again and give her an official get shichra. The Gemara says the reason the Eved owes nothing to the second person is because Hekdesh Chametz V'Shichra Mafkia Midei Shibut. If there was a lien on an object and any one of these three things happened to the particular object, the lien becomes released and there is no lien. So even though there's a lien on the Eved, but since he was freed, since he was Meshuchra, the lien comes off. Same thing would apply to chametz or hekdesh. If there was a lien on chametz, and then Pesach came along, now after Pesach, the lien is off, because chametz sha'avalav a Pesach is aser bahana. Daf Mem Aleph. The Tikkun Olam that we're referring to here is that if the lien holder met the Eved in a shuk, even though technically he's free, he could claim ownership, and everybody will be Mitzi Shemra on the Eved, who technically is really free. Therefore, that's why we say that the first owner has to create another get, Shichra, to avoid this problem of being Mitzi Shemra on the Eved. If someone causes damage to someone else's lien, it's a machlekes between Shimon and Gamliel and the Rabbanan if you're chayef. There is also a machlekes if the person who writes the new get Shichra is owner number one, or if a lien holder, so-called owner number two. The Mishnah. A person who is a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, he's half a slave and he's half free. How does this possibly happen? For example, two people owned him. One of them freed him and one of them did not. So Beis Hillel says, so one day he works for his master, and the alternative day he works for himself, and so on and so forth. One day master, one day he works for himself, i.e. the money that he earns is for himself. Beis Shammai says, he's all messed up regarding marriage. He can't marry a shivcha since he's a half ben chorin, and a ben chorin is not allowed to marry a shivcha. He can't marry a ben chorin, Bascharin, since he's a half Evan. A Bascharin is not allowed to marry an Evan. And you can't say, so what? So he won't get married. Because the whole world was created for the purpose of Piri Verivya. And he won't be able to be Mekayim this mitzvah. As we know from the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Laisayhu Vira'a, Lashevis Yitzara. The world wasn't created to be empty. Rather, it was created to populate it. So what do you do with this person? Therefore, Beis Shammai says, we're forced. We have to force the second owner to free him. And again, at the end, Beis Hillel had Charata. And he ended up paskening like Beis Shammai that we do this thing. We force the second owner to free him. The Gemara. It's a machlekes if an Eved can free half of himself with kesef. Rebbe says he can. The Chachamim say he cannot. However, with a shtar, all agree that you can't free half of an Eved. Daf Mem Beis. If someone writes all of his possessions to his Eved, the Eved goes free, since the Eved is part of the possessions that he gave away. But if he says, here's all my land except some of it, the Eved isn't kind to himself, since we don't say Palgina Dibura. According to Reb Shimon, he does go free, since we do say Palgina Dibura. If one person hurt another person's hand, he hurt the other person's hand, but the hand will eventually get better. Abaye says you must pay Shevis Gedayla and Shevis Katana. Both are forms of disability. Rava says you only pay the day-by-day loss of work, that Shevis. Both say you must pay Nezek, however. But if a cow hurts a person's hand, both say you only pay Nezek, but no Shevis. If a cow gores a chatzi eved chatzi b'nei charen, the cow master pays half to the eved's master and half to the eved's yarshim. If a major part of the body of an eved is injured, he goes out free. Rabbi Shmuel says, however, his master must give him a second get shichur. Rabbi Meir says you don't need to do this. And finally, Rabbi Meir holds a person can be makna, a davar shalom bali oilam. He can give something which isn't in the world yet. The Rabbanan say he cannot do it. Daf Mem Gimel. Not only can a Kayan eat Truma, but his Avadim and their children can also eat Truma. A person cannot be clear on the specific halachas of Torah until he makes a mistake about that particular halacha. Then he becomes fully clear on it. What is a Shivcha Charufa? One who is a Chatzi Shivcha and Chatzi Bascharin. She marries Reuven, and she was freed, and then she received Kedushin from Shimon, who is the brother of Reuven, and they both died. She can get Yibum from the third brother from Levi. We know that if a man dies without children, there's a mitzvah for the man's brother to do yibum, i.e. to marry this wife of his deceased brother. But if he doesn't do yibum, then he has to do chalitza. We know the mitzvah of piriyah verivya is only for the man. A woman doesn't have this chiyuv. Rabbi Yechanan ben Breka holds, this mitzvah is also relevant for the woman, since the pasuk says, Vayavarach oisam elokim. The Mishnah. If someone sells his eved kenani to a guy, then the Eved Kanani automatically gets to go out free. This is a knas, because now what will happen is that this particular Eved Kanani, once he goes out, will be putter from mitzvahs, and he'll not be able to do the mitzvahs. So in order to keep the Baal from selling him to a guy, we give him a knas if he does, and the knas is that the Eved gets to go out for free. Daf Mem Dalet. If a king forces a Jew to give up grain from his field, if they took it because he owed the melech money, then he must take off meiser. But it was taken away, stam, then he's putter for meiser. If a person sold an Eved to a Ger Taishav, this is a guy who lives in Eretz Yisrael, since he isn't Eved Avay Dezar, but he keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Naech, or if he sold the Eved to a Kusi, or to a Yisrael Mumer, so to a Ger Taishav, he gets to go out free, since the Ger Taishav is like a guy. But to the others, it's a Machlekes. An Eved who was Mapil Atzmai Legaisis, he let himself be captured, and the master can't get him out, then you can at least take money for him. It's a halacha that a Jew is not allowed to sell land to a guy in Eretz Yisrael. If a person does, then he can't get a hanah from the money. But if you were forced out of the land, then you can get the hanah from the money that you got. If a man sells his eved to a guy, the Chachamim gave him a knas that he must buy back the eved, even for 100 times his real value. If he sells a behemoth gasa to a guy, then you must pay him back 10 times the value. This is because he'll work with it on Shabbos. And although if it belongs to a guy, it is allowed to be worked with on Shabbos, but if it belongs to a Jew, then it's not allowed to be worked with on Shabbos, the Chachamim in Masechta Avodah Zarah made a gzera here. They were afraid that if we would let the Jew lend it to a guy on Shabbos and let it work with it on Shabbos, then the Jew would end up working with the Vayim himself on Shabbos. So therefore, al tzitz gzera, they asked both of them. If a father sold an eved to a guy, and then he dies, do we kansen the children to pay the knas? That's a machlekes. Melacha and chalamayit is aser, unless it's a davar ha'avud, something that you might lose money if you don't do the melacha. Also, you can't begin a melacha on Erev Yontav with the intention of finishing it on chalamayit, as a davar ha'avud. In other words, you say Erev Yontav, you know what, I'll wait till chalamayit and do it, and I'll be allowed to do it because it's davar ha'avud. That you're not allowed to do. But if you do begin it before Erev Yontav, the Rabbana made a knas that you're not allowed to complete it, even on chalamayit, even if it's a davar ha'avud, because he did it with the particular intention before Yontav of completing it on chalamayit. If someone makes his friend's tahar item tame, he must pay his friend for it. But if he dies, his sons are not mechuyev to pay for what his father's damage that his father had done. Sometimes when you sell an eved to chutz laretz, he goes out free, and sometimes he doesn't. A person from Bavel who married a woman in Eretz Yisrael, and she had the dowry of many slaves, and he plans to return to chutz laretz, since the prophet goes to him, this is called nichse tzon barzel, so if the avarim go with him, is there a knas to her, since it's like she said, sent them to chutz laretz, or is there not? This is teiku. If an eved follows his owner to Surya, which is considered like Eretz Yisrael for some halachas, like chutz laretz for others, and his owner sells him, he goes free, since for this, it's like chutz laretz. And finally, a person cannot force anyone else to leave Eretz Yisrael, and a person even cannot force his havadim to leave Eretz Yisrael. An eved that runs away from Eretz Yisrael to chutz laretz gets to go out for free. But according to Rav Acha bar Yoshia, he does not go out free. The Mishnah. You should not redeem captives for a value more than they're worth because of tikkun ha'olam. You shouldn't help a captive escape because of tikkun ha'olam, since if you help him escape, the next time the goyim will chain the prisoners and cause a lot of pain, so he won't escape that time. Because if he escaped the last time, they have to get stronger the second time. This would cause a lot of extra pain, so mishum tikkun ha'olam, the takana was made. The Gemara. You shouldn't redeem captives for values that are higher than they're worth for a number of reasons. Number one, so as not to overburden the community, because if you redeem them for high amounts, then you're burdening the community. The community has to pay for it, unless the community has a lot of money. Or for a second reason, so as not to encourage the goyim to demand even higher prices the next time, because if they see they're getting a lot of money the first time, then they'll, the next time they can up the ante even more. The daughters of Reb Nachman were shut with such tzidkanias that when they used to mix hot pots of foods, their hands would not burn. The Gemara says Klal Yisrael is compared to a yonah, to a dove. And women, when they want to discuss things, they do it in the Beis HaKiseh. So when the Amoraim wanted to find out about their motive for capture, one particular Amora stood outside the Beis HaKiseh to listen to their private conversations. The Mishnah. One is not allowed to buy tefillin and mezuzahs from goyim for more than they're worth. Mishum tikkun ha'olam. This is since the goyim will be encouraged to steal them and demand a lot of money from the community, and the burden will get too hard. The Gemara. If a Sefer Torah was written by a min, this is a person who was close to Avodah Zarah, a priest, you must burn it, since it was intended for Avodah Zarah. But if a regular guy wrote it, it should be hidden, since it's a suffix if it was written for Avodah Zarah or not. If it was found in the hands of an idol worshipper, some say you can even read from it on Shabbos, since it's a svek sveka. Number one, maybe a Jew wrote it, maybe a Jew didn't write it, but maybe a Jew did write it. So that's one suffix. Second suffix is even if a guy wrote it, maybe it wasn't written for Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, say for Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs that were written by a min, someone who was close to Avodah Zarah, a meiser, a person who was an informer, an eved, an isha, a katan, a kusi, or a yisrael mummer, someone who doesn't keep mitzvahs, then these are pasul. Since the pasuk says, ukshartem, uksaftem, only those who are shayach to kshira, i.e. a person who wears tefillin, only those people are allowed to write them. But other people who are not shayach to the mitzvah are not allowed to write them. For example, a woman is pater from mitzvah of tefillin. This is because tefillin is a mitzvah sase shazman grama, because you don't wear it on Shabbos or you don't wear it at night. You only wear it during the day, during the week. Since she's pater from the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah sase shazman grama, she's also not allowed to write them either. In Taisvis, Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say that similar to tefillin, a woman is not allowed to put together a lulav or to put together tzitzis into a baget. because these are all mitzvahs esei shazman grama. But Taisvus concludes that this is not so, since we see the Gemara in Menachas daf mem beis amud aleph that only a guy, it says, cannot prepare tzitzis, since the pasuk says b'nei Yisrael v'yasu. But only a guy is excluded. A woman is allowed to put tzitzis into a beged, and she's only excluded from preparing tefillin, say for Torah and mezuzahs, because of the special pasuk of ukshartam. But all other mitzvahs she would be allowed to prepare, for example, lulav and tzitzis. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds, if an Eved Kechavim writes a Sefer Torah, you are allowed to read from it. He also holds that the parchment of the Sefer Torah must be prepared lishma. The Rambam, in Hilchas Tefillin, Perak Aleph, Halacha Tesvav, says that when one writes Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzas, and Bishas HaKsiva, he didn't have Kavana, when he writes the Shem Hashem, it's Pasal. But it's Mashma. If you stam didn't write it lishma, then it's Kasher. Aye, but if the Gemara holds that the preparation of the parchment must be done lishma, kal v'chaymer, the ksiva must be done lishma. So what's pshat in the Rambam? According to the Rambam, it's mashma, that if you stam didn't write it lishma, then it's kasher. And here it's mashma, that preparation of the parchment must be done lishma, and if you don't do that, then it's pasul. Reb Chaim Brisker answers that Sefer Torah min hastam is considered lishma. When you sit down to write it, min hastam you're doing it lishma. Because why else would you be sitting and writing a Sefer Torah? Of course you're writing it for the purpose of Sefer Torah. However, regarding preparing of parchment, this is not stam lishma, since parchment preparation could be for other things. For example, a person may be sitting and writing on parchment for the purpose of doing a wedding invitation. So we don't know what actually the purpose is being done. That's why the Gemara specifically says that parchment has to be done specifically written to be done lishma. And if it's not written specifically lishma, then it's not kosher. Mashenki, the Rambam, is referring to a case of writing a Sefer Torah. For that, you don't need lishma, since it's obvious that a person is sitting and doing it, it's for the purpose of Sefer Torah. So it's stama lishma. I believe that this lumdus of Reb Chaim could be applied to the question that Taisus asks in Sukkah daf mem zayin amar aleph, the first Taisus on top of the daf, where he tries to explain why it is that we eat in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, but we don't take lulav on Shmini Atzeres, ayin sham. The Mishnah. If someone divorces his wife because she had a bad name, people were motzi shamer on her, that she was unfaithful, or because she made bad nedarim, he can never remarry her again. Rameir says, only nedarim that a chacham can be matir, can he not return to her if he divorced her. But if she made a neder that he can be mefer, even if he divorces her, he can take her back later. Daf mem vav, the Gemara. The reason for this takana is as a knas to a woman, so they won't get involved in znus or nedarim. Or, since maybe she'll marry someone else, they'll discover the shemra was false, and the first husband will say, if I would have known this, I wouldn't have divorced you, and the get will have been done, betos, and batel. So she really was an ashes ish, and the children from marriage number two will be mamzerim. This is called mishum kilkula. It's a machlekes what something in public means, in front of three people, which is called a rabbin, or in front of 10 people, because of Eda, which is learned from Karach. This is also, by the way, where we learn the fact that a minyan has to be with 10 people. Rav Nosson said, if someone makes a neder, it's as if he built a bama, a private mizbeach, which is osir. But if someone keeps the neder, it's like he brought a carbon on the bama, the Mishnah. If a man divorces his wife because she's an islandist, Rabbi Yehuda says he can't go back to her. Chachamim say he can. Gemara. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he can't return to her mishum kilkula, as we said before, the Mishnah. If someone purposely sold himself and his children, the Chachamim made a takana not to redeem them. Otherwise, Klal Yisrael will have a very big burden. But after the father dies, you can redeem the kids so they won't assimilate with the Gaim. When cannibals want to kill a person, they give him his last wish for food to eat, so he'll be happy and his blood will be sweet when they eat him. The Mishnah. If one sells his field in Eretz Yisrael to Goyim, he's required to purchase the first fruits, even at very high prices, and bring them like Bikurim. This is Mibnei Tikkun Olam, to discourage people from selling land of Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. The Gemara says, according to Rabbah, even though if a guy acquires land in Eretz Yisrael, he's never really kainit, since it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Pasuk in Vayikra says, Ki liha aretz, and it's potter from Meiser. Still in all, he is allowed to dig up the ground to make storage pits, because it still is a samai kinyan, HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem, v'yaretz and samli v'nei Adam. Rabbi Lazar holds that a guy does have a kinyan in the land of Eretz Yisrael, but he's not allowed to dig up baris, sichin, umaretz. If a Jew and a guy brought a field together b'shutfus, and they divided the produce, Rebbe says that each grain is 50% Jewish own and 50% Goyish own. You must take off trumas and maisers from all of it. Shimon Gamliel says the half of it belongs to a guy's putter, but the half of it belongs to a Jewish chayev. And we know which half belongs to who because of the klal of yesh brera. Rebbe holds ein brera, that's why you don't know who owns what. If someone sells his field for agricultural purposes only, Rabbi Yechanan says he must bring bikurim and read from the parsha. Reish Lakish says he brings bikurim, but he can't read from the parsha since the land isn't under his total bialos. And finally, from the pasuk of Alakachta Ve'evesa, we learn that you can only recite the parsha of Bikurim if you both took the Bikurim and you brought them to Yerushalayim, but if you just did one, you cannot. We're running out of tape, so we'll stop here and complete this parak Be'ezus Hashem on the next tape.